So we will watch and see what the Holy Spirit does as I take you on a little journey. So say, my eyes see.
My eyes see.
My ears hear.
My ears hear.
And my heart does perceive.
And my heart does perceive.
You're on the job with me.
You're on the job with me.
Amen?
Amen.
I'm taking you to Daniel chapter 4. He's been on this situation for several days, but he pressed in a few verses. So I would definitely say that, you know, if you've never read Daniel chapter 4, it's all about Nebuchadnezzar receiving a dream. And he wants the interpretation. So I'm going to give you a few verses and then we're going to skip. All right? Verse 4. I, Nebuchadnezzar, was at home in my palace, contented and prosperous. I had a dream that made me afraid. As I was lying on my bed, the images and visions that passed through my mind terrified me. So there are times that you're going to receive dreams, and terror will be a byproduct. You got to remember that Nebuchadnezzar is king. Okay? Now, notice again, the visions pass through my mind, producing terror. So I commanded that all the wise men of Babylon be brought before me to interpret the dream for me. When the magicians and the enchanters and the astrologers and the diviners came, I told them the dream, but they could not interpret it for me. Finally, Daniel came into my presence, and I told him the dream. He is called Belteshazzar, after the name of my God. Now, think about what this comment speaks. He has changed the name of Daniel to the name of his God. Then it says, and the spirit of the holy gods, with an S, is in him. So he's aware that this guy is different, that he's serving different gods than he knows from his own experience. I said to Belteshazzar, chief of the magicians, I know that the spirit of the holy gods is in you. Notice it's in you. And no mystery is too difficult for you. Here is my dream, interpret it for me. These are the visions I saw while lying in my bed. I looked, and there before me stood a tree in the middle of the land. Its height was enormous. The tree grew large and strong, and its top touched the sky. It was visible to the ends of the earth. Its leaves were beautiful, its fruits abundant, and on it was food for all. Under it, the beasts of the field found shelter, and the birds of the air lived in its branches. From it, every creature was fed. Now, here's the verse I want you to see. In the vision I saw while lying on my bed, or in my bed, I looked, and there before me was a messenger. And if you look down at the footnotes, you'll see, or a watchman. Okay? A holy one coming down from heaven. See, most Christians don't even think that heaven is involved in the earth's affairs. They think it's all about me, myself, and I, and they function focused on themselves and on their own issues. I'm trying to show you that if there were messengers and watchmen on their case, guess what's happening today?
Same.
Amen? And those watchers and those watchmen are not looking to destroy. They're looking for your reaction. As we were praying, I had a vision of this word again flashing before me as I walked around the table. And I heard, these watchmen are here. And they're looking for those who will believe. And then the word came out of my sister's mouth that there were three levels. Some look at the word for their own purpose. Some look at what the promises are, and it's for everybody else but them. Am I interpreting that about right? And there were some that are choosing to believe because their unbelief is so strong that that's the best they can do is make the decision. I'm choosing to believe. Those watchers are watching how you're going to act and react when you go home. Then when you go to your office or you go to your purpose in whatever you're doing, they are watching. Now, do they give a report? You better bet that they're giving a report. They're not going to be wishy-washy on your case because you happen to be at church Sunday morning. Because they can teach you and watch you wherever you are, even in a courtroom. All right? All right. Are you catching on now? 14. He called in a loud voice, cut down the tree and trim off its branches, strip off its leaves and scatter its fruits. Watchers can do what?
Cut down the tree.
Huh?
Cut down the tree.
Yeah. Let the animals flee from under it and the birds from its branches. But let the stump and its roots, bound with iron and bronze, remain in the ground in the grass of the field. Let him be drenched with the dew of heaven, and let him live with the animals among the plants of the earth. And let his mind be changed. Ha ha. Some of you have situations where you've wondered what happened to someone's mind.
Amen.
And in your own mind. So is the mind something that God can do something with or do something about?
Yes, absolutely.
Some of the men in my life did all kinds of things with my mother's mind, and I can remember that there were some experts many years ago who wanted to give her shock treatment. And to my surprise, in 2019, they now have shock treatments that they advertise on television, where they put a machine on somebody's head and they put impulses in it, and they're selling it. And immediately, when I saw that, I had anger in me. Why? I'll tell you why.
Deception.
When my mother was in and out of institutions and insane asylums, you name it, many years after her experience, and she was spirit-filled and began to pray in tongues, and her deliverance was progressive, one of the specialists said to me, did your mother ever have... Because I told him the testimony that God had delivered her. He said, did you ever have shock treatment? And my mother said nothing because she didn't quite catch on. And I said, no, I would not allow it. And she didn't allow it. Because you have to volunteer and let it happen. He said, this woman, if she had had those kind of treatments, might not be here today. Not that God can't take care of that problem, but I'm watching the advertisement and I'm remembering all this stuff. Watch now. Verse 17. The decision is announced by messengers or watchmen. The Holy One declares the verdict so that the living may know that the Most High is sovereign over the kingdoms of men. Sovereignty, higher court. over the kingdoms of men and gives them to anyone he wishes and sets over them the lowliest of men. Yeah. Watchmen. You know, he's been watching on my case. And there were times I didn't like what my body did or what my soul did or what my actions and reactions were. And I said, how can you love me? How can I receive your love and still have some form of sanity? Because I passed my own judgment first. And my opinion of me was what? Low grade. And the Lord said, that's not what I want you to believe. I don't want you to go by the circumstances of your life. I want you to go by the one who paid the price to lift you up out of the grave, mentally. Yeah, that's why Jesus went to that cross. He didn't go because he wanted to teach you a lesson. And religion says he went just because you were kind of stupid. And then when you walk out of church, you're still stupid because they put another guilt trip on you and you go home and do some homework hoping that the stupid part of you will fall away. I'm being facetious, but I'm also being honest. Okay? I can't tell you how many people that I have worked with over the years that believe such lies about themselves that they even didn't want to go back to church. They hated what they would feel like when they were on their way home. Verse 17, the decision is announced by messengers or watchers. The Holy One declares the verdict so that the living may know. Who are the living? We are. That the Most High is sovereign over the kingdoms of men and gives them to anyone he wishes and sets over them the lowliest of men. This is the dream that I, King Nebuchadnezzar, had. Now, Belteshazzar, tell me what it means, for none of the wise men in my kingdom can interpret it, but you can, because the spirit of the holy gods is in you. I want you to skip over now to verse 23. O King, you, O King, saw a messenger, a holy one coming down from heaven, saying, cut down the tree and destroy it, but leave the stump, bound with irons and bronze, in the grass of the field, while its roots remain in the ground. Let him be drenched with the dew of heaven. Let him live like the wild animals until seven times pass by for him. It goes on and it gives all the conditions of what happened to the king. Awareness of these that are watching over us. They're not watching to destroy. They're watching to see how you're going to act with the wisdom God gives you. And then when you begin to be obedient and believe and cry out like the man who he just didn't have it in him and he said, Lord, help my unbelief. When you cry out for help, for your unbelief, is he going to throw you a stone? No. He's going to give you grace. He's going to give you favor. But he's watching your reactions to what you receive. You go home today, this message can die on the way home. But if you're serious and you cry out, he's looking to see, and they are looking to see how you will go forward. And then the blessings will come accordingly. The places of growth will unfold. They will unfold. I'd like you to put your hand over your heart right now and close your eyes and say, Lord Jesus,
Lord Jesus,
give me a reminder,
give me a reminder
that my decisions,
that my decisions
will change my future.
Will change my future.
If I decide to believe, and ask for help, my Father will not walk away. He's just waiting for an opportunity. To baffle my old patterns of thinking. With a brand new mind of Christ. And to emotionally understand. He knows me better than I know myself. I'm just willing today. To choose to believe. Help my unbelief, Lord. I need a lot of grace. And a lot of favor. I don't want to miss my destiny. In Jesus' name. I pray. That's it. That's it.